Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. While many luxury brands use social media for branding, some are reluctant to leverage technology when it comes to sales and customer service. Some brands are concerned it will dilute the brand and mar the customer experience. Thus, they still refuse to sell luxury fashion online. While it's understandable that these luxury brands thrive on their heritage, there are digital opportunities that will enable them to maintain their exclusivity while enhancing customer interactions. But how much of this push to digitalize has to do with the pandemic, as retail, luxury or otherwise, takes a big hit? We're joined today by Jochen Wirtz, Professor of Marketing at National University of Singapore and US Business School, and his co-authors from Kedge Business School in France and University of Cologne in Germany have come up with 10 propositions for the luxury sector to digitize itself. Professor, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, Howie. It's a pleasure to be on air with you.
Let us know the impetus for the study, along with your co-authors from the Kedge Business School in France and University of Cologne in Germany.
We are all very interested in luxury. So we have a large research stream on luxury and luxury services. And what we found is that the industry tends to be highly conservative, but technology is everywhere. So we really wanted to explore what is and will be the role of technology and digital services also in a luxury context.
But why conservative, though, luxury brands? Why have they been reluctant thus far to, say, adopt technology to enhance the customer experience?
The perception in luxury is always that personal service is the non plus ultra in luxury. And technology is very often seen as mostly a tool to drive productivity, which is not really aligned with the brand positioning of many of the luxury companies. And then on top of that, I mean, if you look at the really traditional luxury brands, they really value craftsmanship and heritage. And none of that is really sits very comfortably with high tech. And if they consider technology is often only mostly in the back office and perhaps also to support their sales staff, their service staff in their interactions with customers. But customers interact with their people, not with their technology.
So to put it nicely, it's traditional. To put it not so nicely, it's elitist.
Yeah, maybe elitist, because cost savings are not as important very often in luxury contexts or are frowned upon. Customers already pay a lot, and if then they view a company doing something to cut costs, that is just contradictory to the overall value proposition of luxury, which should make you feel pampered and elitist and escapist and all of those.
So right now, the current situation where storefronts have been closed, footfall obviously completely dried up, so to speak, which is where the majority of luxury brands will get their business, people needing to come to the store where they can be pampered, where they can be taken care of. What now? Are you seeing that luxury brands need to now adopt technology to some degree?
I mean, the pandemic, of course, has accelerated this trend, but this trend has been already coming for a long time.
Mm.
I mean, you think even the more mature luxury customers, you look at them, many of them have iPhones, iPads, other tablets, they do online banking, they are on Netflix, and so on. So it's not that they don't know how to use technology, and they're used to interacting with many service organizations or many companies already in a digital way, and then they wonder, why can't I call this company, for example, right? Or if I'm with an online bank, they have a very sleek online presence and online banking and a website. Now, if I'm a high net worth individual with one of the private banks and they don't have that, I really wonder, are you really a luxury high end company? So in a way, even the more senior customers already also push for more technology. And you could sum this up in high touch and high tech. So luxury in the future will mean both. And on top of this, you have the trend of the millennials coming. I mean, in a few years, millennials will represent more than 50% of all luxury customers in the world. And they are digital natives. So if you then don't have a good digital service options, I think these customers will be disappointed with you. They just expect it. So the push will be there for luxury as much as for other companies. Just for other companies, the push was driven by the immense productivity gains and cost savings technology offers. For luxury companies, that will not be the primary focus. The primary focus will be, how can I offer better service, a better experience through technology on top of what I'm already doing?
So obviously their approach needs to be different, Professor, from, say, non-luxury players. And you and your co-authors have come up with some propositions for the luxury sector. Tell us about them.
Yeah, I mean, the first one is, technology in luxury has to add value. It cannot be about productivity gains and cost savings. I mean, that will be part of it and it will be in the background. Yes, it happens. But the core focus has to be, how does technology add value for the customer? And that could be, I mean, it's sort of separated utilitarian versus hedonic aspect. So utilitarian is basically information, check stock, prices, availability. Gallery Lafayette in Paris, they have digital code racks. So if your size is not there, you just can key in the size you would like, and a sales representative will bring you the size. Mm. Or QR codes on clothes in Chanel, where you can get a ton of information about any of the items you see. So these are utilitarian, so they give you information and other things to help you with the transaction. But then what's more exciting are really the hedonic tools. I mean, that could be things like circadian lighting in hotels, or where you have a customized app with all your preferences, from temperature to music to TV to whatever, and it's all uploaded and you don't have to explain to anyone. MindSense, there's a perfume company, and they built a neuron mask. So you can go, you put on this mask, and in a very quick short period of time, you can go through 110 scents to really identify what scents do you really like.
Wow.
Right? That's technology. Yeah, or Chanel, for elite customers in their Paris boutique, they have a separate floor with something they call a smart mirror. So you put on a piece of clothing, you can see, what does this piece of clothing look like on the catwalk. It suggests accessories, handbags, belts, jewelry. So there's a whole experience coming around it. So this technology doesn't cut steps or doesn't cut costs. It makes the whole experience even more wow and even more hedonic and pleasant and even mythical, right? So I think the technology has to be seen going in that direction. And if you look at the AI and robotics and big data, I mean, there's so many options and so much. And this technology is becoming better, faster, cheaper, smaller by the day. And I think there will be many, many opportunities going forward.
We're speaking with Professor Jochen Wirtz of Marketing at the National University of Singapore, NUS Business School. Professor, in the immediate future, though, before even economies are fully opened up and can have your elite customers going to these luxury stores, what can luxury brands do, though?
I mean, many brands, of course, went through online channels
Doesn't that
online.
Dilute the brand, which they're so afraid of?
Absolutely. I mean, it's very hard to differentiate an online experience from a high-end luxury online experience, let's say something you see on a good Amazon website, right? So that is the big challenge. How do you differentiate online? And I mean, yeah, the touch and feel of the website, the customer journey has to be flawless. And I mean, you have to pay attention to those. But I think long-term is millennials will expect it. So you will not get around to also selling online. Chanel at the moment refuses to sell fashion online. So they argue that buying a Chanel item is an experience, is a hedonic experience, is an escapist experience, which we cannot replicate online. Therefore, you can look at the items online. You can also pre-select what you would like to buy. Then come to the shop and make it something very special for you. Mm. So that you connect the pleasure and the experience with the items you wear. And I think, but going forward, it will be hard to maintain that position. I think you probably will have to have both. And I think this is the big difference between luxury and non-luxury. In luxury, I think you will have to offer both high touch, high tech. And the key word for me is opt in here. You don't force customers to use online channels for anything. You give them the option. And you will see that over time, a higher and higher and higher proportion of customers will prefer online and will prefer electronic communications, interactions, transactions towards face-to-face, especially for the not-so-high value-adding transactions.
Professor, it sounds like you and your colleagues feel it is online or bust, even for luxury brands. And we're talking about this extending to not just apparel, but also, say, cars and watches and such.
Absolutely. That's for services and it's for goods. I mean, Burberry, for example, they put an RFID chip into many of their items and they try to give you the entire production journey so you can look at where does the wool come from, who are the craftsmen. So if you're interested, you can really dive in, learn a lot more and make this item even more special. Luxury cars, I think BMW invites you. You can watch your own car being assembled in Munich. You can even drive it off the assembly line.
Really personalized service.
Very personalized. It's your car with your specifications and color and everything. And you watch it, yes.
And this is because of the generational shift you were talking about, that millennials will expect this because they're so used to being digital natives, the speed and the bespoke nature of everything.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, you can see the Raffles Hotel in Singapore is an all-suite hotel. And every suite, of course, has a butler. And in the old days, you always interacted with the butler almost only. Yes? You call the butler if you wanted anything. Today in the suites, after the renovation, every suite has a really intuitive iPad interface that controls, of course, everything in the suite from aircon to blinds to television. But also you can contact your butler and the butlers, they are also now on WeChat, on WhatsApp to talk to you and connect with you. Yeah. So even there, yes, it's very traditional and Raffles Hotel is a very traditional hotel. But you can see even there, customers just expect the convenience of that technology. It's part of luxury today.
Dare we say if some luxury brands refuse to embrace this sort of omni-channel approach, they might really be in trouble, Professor?
I wouldn't say, I mean, everyone has to do and walk in the same direction. The overall trend is in that direction for sure, but it doesn't mean that certain niches cannot exist where they're extremely traditional because there will be customers who value that. I mean, even today, there are customers who are quite hostile towards technology. So I would be very careful to say you have to do this. I would argue, look very carefully at your customers, work with your customers and go slowly and step into it.
At the risk of sounding insensitive, those traditional customers will be gone at some point and it will be these millennials.
Yeah, I don't know actually, even amongst millennials, there are some who feel so close to nature, who are vegan, who value handcraft, who are afraid of the Wi-Fi rays and networks. I mean, you know, there are people who there's always a counter trend towards a mega trend. So there will be niche positionings that are not positioned on technology. I'm quite confident too.
Jochen Wirtz, Professor of Marketing at National University of Singapore, NUS Business School. Professor, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Howie.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.